stopped. Just a second.
The names of the interviewers are Gilo Cobber and Wendy Najoli. Supporting this interview is Sharon Rappaport. The name of the interviewee is Daisy Edwards. The interviews for the grandchildren of the Blitz. The place of the interview is Layard Square, SE16. The date is 19th October 2010. Could I ask for the place and date of your birth?
Bermondsey. Born in Bermondsey. Did you want to know the road?
Yes.
Well, it was Mill Pond Bridge. Moved over to Southwark Park Road just before the war.
Right.
And you want to know the date of my birth?
Yes, please.
The 24th of July, 1926.
Could you tell me a bit about your personal life and details, please?
My personal life?
Yeah.
Well, I was married to John. Do you want to know that?
Before the war.
Oh, well, starting in my early years, I lost my mum at the age of 27. She left three children, a sister and a brother. And my dad brought us up until I was nine. Then he remarried. And I had a stepbrother that was just before the war. During the war, I had a little sister. And that was our family. Dad, stepmum, my sister, myself, my brother, and my half-brother and sister. That was five children.
So how did you feel growing up without your mum?
Well, we had, in those days, you had relatives all around you. So they helped Dad out. And my sister and I used to go to the pie mash shop every day for 4 years. That was our dinner, you know. And do you know the pie mash shops? You don't know. But my brother was so young, he was only a year old, he went to stay with my aunt just across the road. As I say, all the families were surrounded you in those days. They all looked after you. I went to live with my Aunt Laura for 2 years, but she wanted to adopt me and my dad wouldn't have it. So I came home again. Yeah, is that all right?
Mm-hmm. So what about your school then? Did that affect you?
I went to St Mary's School. I went to Christchurch School and then St Mary's School until I was 13, and that's when the war started. Mm. And we evacuated to Brighton. Mm. The school evacuated. I went with my brother, because my sister was older, so she stayed at home.
So did that affect, did the evacuation affect you and your family?
Yes, we got homesick and we came home. Went to Brighton. We got homesick and we came home.
Oh, so they let you come back?
Oh, yes, yeah.
So how long did you have to stay in Brighton for?
I was there from the September the 1st we went, and I was there till the January, so I wasn't there long.
Oh. How old were you at the time?
13.
Tell us a bit when you had the bombings, how did you feel?
Well, the first day of the bombing, we didn't know what was happening because it had been so quiet from 1939 to 1940. You had Dunkirk and all that, but we didn't have the bombing. You had the Battle of Britain, but that didn't really affect us. That was more over the southeast of England. But the day of the bombing, my stepmum and I were standing at the door and we saw all these little tiny, like flies in the sky, and we didn't know what they were until they started bombing the docks. Then later on, the people who lived what we called downtown, where the docks were, all came through to go to Keaton's Road School, which is now Scott Lidgett. and they were all killed. Most of them were killed on the night bombing. That was the start of the bombing. And from then on, we had about 78 days of continued bombing.
So during the bombing, did any of you like get injured or hurt?
No, luckily, we didn't. Plenty of friends did, but we were lucky.
So does that mean that...
Just an uncle, he got killed in the park. But that wasn't from the actual bomb. It was, they used to have guns in the park. And when the guns went off, you had the shrapnel come down. And that was more dangerous than the bombs because it's so sharp. It was razor sharp. And it nearly cut him in half. He was going through the park to go to his ARP. He worked, you know, the ARP. And it killed him. So it was Broder's husband, but...
So as a kid, like, how did you feel about it? Because you were only 13.
Well, I was going on for 14 when the bomb. I was 14 when the bombing started.
Right.
13 when the war started. 14 when the bombing started. Well, in them days, it sort of went over your head. You know, you sort of. You were frightened, but you accepted it for some reason. Perhaps it's because I was young. I think the grown-ups were more frightened for their children than anything, you know.
So did you
think it was a bad, very bad experience.
So did you think that you was going to die or you was going to lose your family?
Well, you lived for the day.
Yeah.
You lived one day at a time.
So
we did have some bad experiences. I'll tell you for one instance. It was the night of the 28th to the 29th of December, 1941. And I was the one that I had to be, I'd not long started work. And I had to be just right for the next day because we had to go down the shelter of a night time under Kirby Estate. And I would insist, we didn't have a bathroom in them days. It might surprise you, but we didn't. You had to wash the best way you could. I would insist on all clean clothes, ready for the next morning. The bombing had started. The wardens were knocking on the door. You've got to get out, you've got to get out. When we came out the door, the whole place was alight. All the docks, everywhere. It was just a red sky. Everywhere was a light. Well, I never went back into the house until the next day, next week, because there was an unexploded bomb outside our house in Southwark Park Road. So we had to live in the overhead shelters for a week. No clean clothes, nothing. Just go to work and... Mum fed us as she could, you know, as good as she was able. And we didn't go back for a week. But there was quite a few bad experiences. And as I got a little bit older, I used to creep out when my dad went to work. By now, my sister was going into the forces. She was old enough to go into the WAFs. My brother was... evacuated to Norfolk. Mum had gone away again because she had my sister Rose in February 1941. And then but we didn't seem to see the fear. I used to go out. And unbeknownst to my dad, because he used to be, you know, the rescue squad, and we were coming through Carlin Road, we used to go to the Hippodrome, and that was on the corner of Carlin Road, where Elbins is now. And we were coming through there and the bombs came down. And Anyway, I managed to get back into the shelter, so it was all bad experiences, you know. But there you are, that's how it was.
Would you like to continue with the questions?
Yeah, I'm all right here.
So, what did you do in the shelter?
Well, when the bombing first started, we didn't have a shelter in our house, so we had to go across to the flats and go underneath. And you sat up all night because there was no convenience or nothing. But later on, they did put bunks in. You know what a bunk is? You know, bunks? And that's where we used to go. But my mum, by now she was back home again after having the baby. She used to go up to the top of the flats. She felt safer with her mum, with my nan, at the top of the flats than she did under the shelter, under the flats. And that's where she used to go.
What about your little brother then? How was he like?
Oh, well, as I say, Mum took him away after she'd had Rose, but she'd come back again. Yeah. You couldn't stay away. It was you got too homesick. But he was all right.
Yeah.
He was 5 at the time.
So he didn't understand what was going on.
Not really. He knew it was something bad, you know, but.
So, where did your mum, provide the food for you? Like, how did you live?
Well, I just don't know how she fed us. When you see the amount of rationings that we had, what they call ration, you had a ration book, and you got so much every week. They tore the coupons out of the ration book. Well, it's such a little amount, I just wonder now how she fed us, but she did. Bread wasn't rationed, so you plenty of bread. And you didn't see any fruit or anything like that. But vegetables wasn't rationed. But meat, you had just a tiny little bit for to make it to last all the week.
So
each.
As you say, the meat, was it cooked?
No, from the butchers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm. But she had such a tiny amount, I don't know how she managed. Rabbit, if you could get hold of a rabbit, that wasn't rationed. Or any offal, that wasn't rationed. But she managed somehow.
Well, the
bombing stopped. We had one big raid in the May, and that was the last big raid we had, was in the May. And it went very quiet until 1943. Then you had what we called the doodlebugs, right? The buzz bombs or doodlebugs. They were a plane that came over. Then when it stopped, you knew it was coming down on you. And that lasted quite a time. And then, not only that, they got a new invention up, didn't they? That was the V2. This arch out here was one of the first to get it. There's an arch outside here. Got the V2. And they were like you see the rockets now. That's what they were like.
So
and you didn't know they were coming, the rockets.
So how old were you at the time when things starting to improve?
Oh. I was 16 when I met my husband. He was a maritime marine. He was on leave. And they did improve a little bit then. until, as I say, the Baz bomb started.
So did it still traumatise you after a couple of years when you're coming out of your house?
Well, I don't know. I can't remember it, you know. Not, I can't. I just felt as if it was something that was happening. And I can't put it into words, really.
So, like, being in Bermondsey now, don't you just think that
about the bombings?
No.
Doesn't.
No. It's such a different place now. People are so different now. We were whole communities then, you know.
So, when the bombings happened, did you ever think you would come back to Bermondsey?
Well, I was in Bermondsey most of the time.
Oh.
I lived in Bermondsey all the time, except the few months that I was evacuated. That was before the bombing started.
So how did it look before? Did it look different from now? How it looks now?
Oh, yes, yeah, different altogether. If our parents come back, they wouldn't recognise the place.
So you feel much safer now than how it was before?
I won't go out at the night time, if you mean that. I won't go out in the dark.
So looking at Bermondsey now, is anything the same or has it completely changed?
Oh, it's completely changed. Yeah, it's completely changed now.
Do you wish it was like how it was before? Do you prefer it now?
You had all your relations around you. Now, I feel as if I'm completely on my own since I've lost my husband and my son's moved out. I lost one, my eldest son. And my other son's moved right out. So I don't see a lot of him now. I go and stay with him for weekends every now and again, but otherwise there's no one.
So what happened to your husband then?
My husband, he died the same time as Bet's husband. We lost our eldest son, and from then on he couldn't handle it. I just watched him go down. He eventually died. He stopped eating. He did have a slight heart attack. But he couldn't take the loss of his son. They were such friends, you know.
So where are your brothers and sisters right now?
All dead, darling. They're all gone.
You're the only one?
Except for one. I forgot Donnie. He lives in Broadstairs, but I don't see him. If I needed him, he'd come. When my husband died, he was there straight away, you know, but I don't see him otherwise.
What about, don't you have any cousins around here that were with you in the time of the bombings?
Well, they're all gone. Nearly all gone.
Do you have any grandchildren?
Yes, but they live in Ibiza.
And did they ask you about how was?
Well, they're only little. I've only got the one grandson, and he's got two boys, because they're not old enough yet to ask any questions.
Daisy, I want to just go on and ask you a couple of more questions.
Yes.
When you were evacuated.
Yes.
Where were you evacuated? You said that you were evacuated
to Brighton.
To where did you? Were you evacuated to a family, or did you? Where were you evacuated?
Oh, I was. Well, this is the reason I came home. Really, I was. The first lady I was with. There was four of us in her house, and I didn't know where my brother was, and I was worried about Billy. And I didn't find him for about a week. He wouldn't tell me where he was. But I did eventually find him. And then the lady's husband was a naval man who looked after us. And he came home and two of us had to move out. So I went to a very old lady. And it was a little bit of a laugh, really. Myself and Eileen, that was my friend, Eileen Ward, they used to give us, well, this particular Sunday, they gave us carrots for our dinner and prunes for our afters. And I used to have a coat with a hat to match, you did in those days. And I put it all in my hat, because we didn't have food like that. And I was taking it out and putting it down the drain when my mum and dad came along. And that was it. They had us home. They wouldn't put up with that. They came down to visit. And no, the people, I don't think they really wanted you. They wanted the 5 shillings that they got for you, but they didn't want you.
And in Brighton, did you work there?
Oh no, I was too young. I was only 13. We could only do a half day school because there weren't enough school places for us. That was at Whitehawk, we had to go to school. And there wasn't enough places for their Brighton children and us, you see. So we only did half a day.
So since you moved to
Brighton... I didn't go back to school again after I came home. That was it.
Was Brighton the only place you could evacuate to?
Oh, no, there was other places their children went to.
Oh.
All over the country where they thought they'd be safe.
So no matter where you went, you'll always feel homesick?
Oh, yes, yeah. We were such a close family, you see.
What about your older sister? Did she stay with your mum?
No, she eventually went into the WAFs, the Air Force. My brother evacuated, as I told you, to when we came home from Brighton. He went away again. He went to Norfolk. That's when Mum had the baby. She went with them, but she came home but left him there, and he stayed there for the rest of the war. My brother Billy, but the little one, Donnie, he was with Mum, with us. But it's actually Billy, he used to sing in the Sandringham for the Queen, you know, at Sandringham, and in the church at King's Lynn. Yeah. No, he liked it there. He liked Norfolk. I married the last, 1945, the war ended, and I got married it ended in the May, the year of war, and I married in the December.
And you were 16, right?
No, I was 19 when I got married.
Oh, okay.
That was 1945.
May I ask, how old are you now?
I'm 84 now.
84. So were you still living in Bermondsey when you got married?
Yes, and I've always lived in Bermondsey.
So you feel like you can't move elsewhere?
I wouldn't want to, darling, I wouldn't want to. I'm on a nice estate, very nice estate. I'm quite happy there, though I'm on my own. You know, I've got nice neighbours. And I've got this friend here.
I have two more questions.
Yeah.
You said that you stopped school after you went to Brighton, you didn't go back to school.
No, not once I came home from Brighton.
What did you do?
When I came home, I just didn't do anything because St Mary's School wasn't open. And what I went to before the war, because everyone was evacuated out of it. And when I came home, I didn't do anything until I was 14. And then I started work at Pete Freen's. Every firm had to do some sort of munitions. And I used to work for the munitions part. I used to have to get the ladies made the gas mask cases, and I used to have to feed them with the material. And but it cut my hands to bits. She didn't have gloves or anything. That was only for 3 weeks. So my dad took me out there, and I worked at Conway Stewart's when the bombing all started. I was working at Conway Stewart's. But those people, the sad part about that was, that first day of the bombing, we watched the people come up from downtown to go into the school behind us. And they were nearly all killed. So those soldiers, where there was a whole floor of soldiers, there was about 10 ladies left. They'd all been killed downtown. You remember that, Beth? You remember that, Rose?
Yeah.
How long have you three known each other for?
Was it since the bombing?
Oh, no, I've known Bet. I've known her since, children were quite small. It must be 50 years. Oh, our husbands worked together. Yeah, she knew my mother-in-law. She knew my... She fell in love with my brother-in-law when she was that high.
And that's another thing that interests me. You're talking about communities.
Yes.
I want to know about what do you mean by community?
Well,
what were the relationships in the shelter in the first days, let's say? When
fine, absolutely fine. And as I say, I had a lot of relations around me then, aunts and uncles all around me, which we all did in those days. The children didn't move out in those days, not like they do now. So, no, it's quite, what I can remember, people were... You had your ups and downs, I suppose, but as a child, I couldn't remember that. I suppose they did, but I know. As far as I know, they were all fine.
And did you have any songs or games? You're already a teenager, so I reckon you less play games. But what?
When we were small, it was all type of tap dancing, up the wall, go up the wall. Oh, my dad made you had your little piece of wood on the pavement, not there, the chippy, chippy. Yeah, all that. You had no money. They paid their rent. They put what food they could on the table, and they dressed you nice. Well, as good as they could. Mum was a dressmaker, so she used to make our dresses, my stepmum. And, that was all they worried about in those days. You didn't worry about keeping up with the Joneses and all that business. You didn't have tellies. You didn't have tellies. You only had what we called the wireless in them days. You didn't have any of that. But your life was all right, wasn't it? You know.
As I said, the Joneses didn't have anything.
The Joneses did. They did after, though.
No,
they did after.
So how did your stepmom treat you?
She was a lovely lady. Lovely lady. She treated us fine. I was the last name on her lips when she died. But it was, she was a lovely lady. I didn't know my own mum anyway, you know. You thought about her, what were they like, what was she like, but I didn't know her.
So do you think about it all any now and then, up to now?
only when people talk about it, like we are now, you can go back to it, you know, but you don't think about it otherwise. Well, I don't know if Rose does. You don't. You wipe it out of your mind, you know. You can't realise what it was like, really.
It was the best 6 years of your life.
Yeah, that's it, was all our youth, really. As I say, my husband was a maritime marine. He was a gunner on the merchant ships. And twice his mum was notified that he was missing. He'd been torpedoed. And twice he got through it. Thank God for that, because he was a lovely man. Beautiful man.
So is this something you would never ever forget?
No, you'll never forget it. But you don't keep thinking about it. Mm. Would you like to ask me anything else? Mm. I suppose there's lots of other little bits, but you can't think of them at the moment. Mm. It was terrifying at the time, you know that, but we had to get through it. We couldn't do anything about it.
So was there anything that your mum kept saying to you, like, it's going to be okay?
No, we just sort of lived through it, you know? Just lived through it. I would say we was all that brave. But you just had to get on with it, you know. You couldn't do anything about it. You see the fear. When you're young. Yeah, I did. Yeah, that's what I was saying.
You're more afraid now to go out than what you were saying.
If I'd have had been old enough to have had children, that's when I would have been afraid. If I'd have been old enough to have had children, you know, been. And I think I would have been frightened for them, feared for them. Wow. That's what it was all about.
But was there something I'd say that your father or mother used to tell you to do, that when there's a bombing, do you remember something that he used to tell you kind of how to
react? I hardly saw my dad. He was out all the time. It was, you know, I did hear from one of his men. That Stanley Street Arches that I showed you. He was recommended for a medal for that. He never spoke about it, but one of his men told me, Mr. Perry. But Dad wouldn't accept it, he said, because his men did as much as he did. So that was his principle. That's the only thing that I heard about him, for what he did, you know.
So do you know what the cause of the whole bombing was? What was the cause of it?
Well, it was Hitler, wasn't it? He was trying to break our morale. That's what it was all about. Mm. But he suddenly stopped because he started on Russia. And that's when our bombing... We'd won the Battle of Britain in the June, right? And then he started on London to break the morale. And to bomb the docks so we wouldn't have any food coming in, you know, any materials coming into the docks. And that's what it was all about. It was trying to break people's morale.
So did it only affect Bermondsey?
Well, say it, you can say it. About what? When I used to go dance. Oh, dancing in the park. They, to try and cheer us up, they used to fetch a band into Southwark Park. The bandstand, there's a bandstand in Southwark Park, just across the road here. And we used to go dancing around that. You know, that was just to cheer us up, wasn't it? It was just to cheer people up.
So did it only affect Bermondsey?
What, the dancing?
No,
the bombing? Yeah. Oh, no. It was all over London. Coventry, all those places got it.
So did you used to listen to the radio or read newspapers to tell you what was going on?
We used to listen to the radio, but not for the news. We used to listen for the music.
What was the music of the time? What did you hear?
Well, it was all dance band music. But my sister, she liked classical music. And after 2 years, that was the last fight we had before she went in the forces. Because I was turning it on to dance music and she was turning it back to her classical music. But we loved one another, really.
Do you remember kind of the famous singer of the time or someone that was...
Oh, there? Well, you had Vera Lynn and... what was that other one? Shelton. Anne Shelton.
Never Die Out.
Never Die Out. And, oh no, there was a lot of singers. But I can't remember all of them. It was all like dance music.
Do you sometimes listen to them back today?
I've got the, yeah. I've got the tapes of called Memories. Yeah. I like all those songs, the old songs. I don't know the words to the new songs anyway.
So when the bombing had finished, like to get back on track, did you work or do any job? Like,
no, when the bombing finished, yes, I worked in... No, it wasn't before it finished. It was after I left Conway Stewart's. I worked in the baker's, and that's where I met my husband. He came home on leave. And I was 16, he was 20. And that's where we met, in the shop. He came in for something, and I dropped a tray of cream buns. I loved him right from the start. And that's how it continued for 59 years. I'm not saying we didn't have our ups and downs, but we did. But, no, I worked in the shop. And then, of course, I fell for my first child straight away. And that was it. I didn't work then until... I think he was about a year old. And my mum used to look after him. And... I worked at Pete Friend's for 17 years, and then I fell for my second son after all that time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't work anymore until he was about 9 years old.
Yeah. Looking back, what was the most difficult part, do you think, of the bombing for you?
For me?
All the time.
I think it was just that there was one time during the what we called the doodlebugs or the buzz bombs, that I did get a little bit frightened. Mum was away, and I was in the house on my own. My sister was in the Air Force. My brother was away. Mum was away with the two youngest children. Because she kept going away and coming back, you see. When the buzz bomb started, Dad sent her away again because she had a young baby, a little baby. Anyway, I was kneeling down. You know, we used to wash our passage. We only had oilcloth then, didn't we? I was kneeling down doing that. And it was sunny. And this big shadow came across the road. It was a buzz bomb. Because when it cut out, that's when it glided and it dropped in business at the back of me. I wasn't hurt. But that did frighten me. I was frightened with that. That was one of my fright, you know.
So do you have any souvenir from like the time that you've kept with you up to now?
Yeah, I've got love letters.
That's true.
I've got love letters, and mind you, it's brown now, the paper's brown. And all different little things that John used to send me when he travelled the world with his, on the merchant ship, you see.
So when you got evacuated, did you take one thing in particular with you to Brighton?
Well, just they knew the war was going to start. So at school we made, you know, a canvas rucksack. We wasn't allowed to take a case, but we'd all made, the older girls, like I was 13, made the rucksacks out of, you know, sacking. And you had your gas mask, and you had the rucksack on your back. But when we got there, we was like cattle. You all went in this hole, and they picked you out, who they wanted. I picked the last one that was picked out. I was picked out, yeah. I wasn't the last one. That's why I didn't, it wasn't with my brother. See, he was picked with someone else. He went with someone else. But that's how they picked you out, just like cattle. It was and yet, you know what? I had to ask my brother, how did we get there? I couldn't remember. Mm-hmm. And yet I was 13. I remembered leaving Mum, she was standing there crying. All of us, you know, all of us walking along. And, but I couldn't remember how, but he told me we went by train, but I couldn't remember it. It just completely went out of my mind.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, darling. Yeah, thank you. I hope.
Back into any lessons, but you seem so